This episode was created with the support of Free FM, Hamilton, New Zealand's community access media organisation. Visit us at freefm.org.nz.
Greetings, I am Barry. If you're searching for answers, spiritual help, clairvoyant readings, healings, crystals, books, incense, or jewellery, you need to go to Infinity, Hamilton Spiritual Centre, in the new premises at 550 Anglesey Street. Or you can phone us on 838 1838. This is your link between this life and the next. Become the change the world needs today.
Thank you. voice within, your connection between this world and the next. Brought to you by Infinity Spiritual Center, 550 Anglesey Street, Hamilton.
Greetings, I'm Barry. Now, Pam Gregory is going to be telling us all about the new moon in Pisces, which is occurring on the 18th and 19th of March.
Hi, everyone. I'm going to be speaking to you today about the new moon in Pisces that is coming up on the 19th of March. Now, I'm going to make this quite a short video because I've already recorded a few days ago a much longer video for the Aries equinox. And this new moon in Pisces happens only about 37 hours before the Aries equinox. So the astrology is actually very, very similar. So I'm just going to be mentioning some of the differences when we have this new moon in Pisces. And there is nothing particularly significant after, although the Aries equinox is absolutely huge, as you'll hear in the other video. But other than Neptune staying on the world axis for the entire month, that is significant, and of course raises Neptunian symbolism onto the public stage in a big way, which is what we're seeing already. Okay, so this is for the new moon in Pisces, and in the UK this is happening very early morning, 1:25 a.m. on the 19th of March. And so whenever we have a new moon, we have the sun and moon together, which we have down here at 28 of Pisces. And this is virtually on the anoretic degree, and it is also on the world axis, because anything between 28 degrees of the mutable signs that are Gemini, Virgo, Sagittarius or Pisces, up to 2 degrees of the cardinal signs, and those are Aries, Cancer, Libra, Capricorn, those are the four world axis points around the chart. So this is again showing whatever is happening around that time is going to be likely to be very big and on the public stage. And of course, we have 10 tons happening on the world stage right now. But it is very linked to Pisces, the shadow side of Pisces, in a way, because it's virtually at that anoretic degree. And what the anoretic degree tends to do is to bring up the more difficult side of a sign very often. So that is linked to deception and lies and addictions with drugs, pharmaceutical drugs of all kind, toxicity, pollution, issues around blood, that kind of thing. Obviously the seas and the oceans. And in fact, this new moon is conjunct a fixed star called Sheet, S-H-E-A-T. And that is often linked to misfortunes, particularly at sea. So let's hope that nothing too dramatic happens there. But of course, this sun and moon is also conjunct Neptune anyway, and conjunct Saturn. So it is really activating the Neptune-Saturn conjunction yet again, with all that I've said about that over the last year and more. And so our intuition will be very highlighted, our dreams, our psychic sensitivity. This is a new moon, it's a new seed, it's a new beginning. So see where it falls in your chart, see which house area. And so yes, this sense of greater intuition, psychic sensitivity, it could be telepathy, dreams more vivid, but a real sense of a new you, a new spiritual you, conjunct Neptune, a new spiritual you that is much more fluid and malleable, flowing with the oneness of all that is. That's the feeling that's starting to come in here. And of course, just the next day on the 20th, we have that Aries equinox, which is so dramatic and very powerful energy with so many planets in Aries, really giving us a kind of initiation, ignition, rebirth, relaunch for humanity. And we're just within whispers of that, just a few hours of that happening. Flooding is obviously another major one here as well. There's been so much flooding across the world. I mean, Portugal, Spain, Southeast France. I mean, as I mentioned in the last video, I think I know some people who've had to boil their swimming pool water because no water in the mains coming out of the taps. New Zealand, huge storms. I mean, many, many areas have experienced extreme weather. So let us hope this all abates. The other thing I would point out here is just look at the concentration of planets in Pisces and Aries. You know, again, a very steamy lunation, a steamy chart, water, fire. We only have one of the traditional planets in Earth, and that is Uranus. But Uranus, of course, represents, if we're looking for Earth for stability, Uranus is the planet of instability and the unexpected. So that doesn't really help us with stability. We only have one of our traditional planets in air, and that is Pluto in Aquarius. All the rest are water and fire. So this in combination tends to be very reactive. So please just really, whatever you're hearing or seeing or reading, or firstly think, is it true? And how do you know it's true? Is it true and how do you know it's true? And secondly, take a breath before you respond or react, because this is extremely reactive energy. This can be quite tough on the nervous system as well. The nervous system is very activated here. That's partly Pluto in Aquarius. And it's also the Pisces energy, because that can lend itself to victim energy where you feel very stressed. So remember all of the simple things we've talked about, you know, bare feet on the grass, doing breath work, candle gazing, really, really take time out for stillness. But what is interesting here is if we look at the Sabian symbol for 29 of Pisces, remember you always have to round up to the next degree to look at the Sabian symbol. So the Sabian symbol for 29 of Pisces is birthing a new light from within. Birthing a new light from within. Isn't that wonderful? I mean, we already know that we are receiving a huge amount of, huge number of new light codes from our sun and our galactic core. But also we have, of course, biophotons within us. That's how our intracellular network of communication works. How the cells communicate with each other. And you can often, you know, many of us can see a kind of sort of halo around people's heads. You can see that biophotonic aura around people's heads. And so we are literally starting to become, well, moving towards homoluminous, of course, becoming more shining, more obviously shining. We are generating more light because we are embodying more light being received from the cosmos. And so, you know, with all this intuition coming in, and look at Mercury. Mercury is the planet of the mind, but here it's in Pisces, as it is at the Aries equinox, of course, and very tightly conjunct the North Node. So our collective soul's path of travel, of growth, is to start using our intuition and our heart to navigate life rather than our head. Because Mercury in Pisces operates very intuitively, not analytically, much less mental, if you like. Now, the sun and moon here, the new moon, very in a very tight, exact by degree sextile to Uranus. And so that is going to bring in some new and a lot of innovations, I think, innovations to do with our bodies. That's happening a lot already in terms of biohacking, increased health, increased longevity, a lot. If you're interested in that, just go onto YouTube and type in longevity videos and you'll be absolutely flooded, or biohacking. And these are new methods, because it's still in Taurus here, the body, of making ourselves healthier, and intuitive methods of doing that too. More meditation, more breath work. But it's also to do with agriculture, of course. Taurus is to do with food production. And because of the extreme weather, it may well be that we have to develop some new methods of food production, because a lot of the fields have just been absolutely flooded out and the vegetables have rotted in the earth. I know that's happened to a lot of winter vegetables in the UK, for instance. And so I think innovation in agriculture is going to be a big thing here as well. Also, Uranus is the planet linked to electromagnetism. We're going to understand a lot more about ourselves as electromagnetic beings. And also, once Uranus tips into Gemini, which it will do on the 26th of April, and then all of the outer planets will be in their new signs from that point on and will not retrograde back to their previous signs for the rest of their cycles in those signs. It was when Uranus was in Gemini in a previous cycle in 1690 that a Dutch scientist, Huygens, developed a new theory of light, that light was a wave. And so I think we are going to discover, looking at this chart, a huge amount going forward about light, about water, for sure. And Veda refers to water as condensed light. I think, you know, I'm just starting to, I was going to say dig deep, but I think it's dive deep into water and it being absolutely primary in everything in the universe in a bigger way than I've understood it before. But more of that another time. But if you look at your own chart and particularly see where the signs of Pisces and Aries are falling, they will fall across at least two houses, possibly three houses for you. And those are going to be very activated in the next month or so. I've talked about a lot of the other aspects in this chart for the Aries equinox. Just a couple of other things to pick up here. Venus is semi-square to Uranus here. This could suggest some radical shifts on the currency markets. I mean, there's a lot happening with crypto markets right now, also precious metals markets. There's a lot of, you know, strange things going on behind the scenes with a lot of big buying. And so it could be because Taurus is precious metals too. My sense is that the direction of travel for precious metals is upward, because there's going to be a lot of uncertainty in the world because of the war situation, etc. I'm not a financial advisor or even a financial astrologer, but that is my feeling, because when Jupiter is in Cancer, it tends to support silver. And remember, with the precious metals, and also this is true of cryptos, they are never going to go up in a straight line, ever. They are both very volatile. They're going to be, you know, jigging up and down, but it's looking at the broad direction at the end of the year. Are you better off than when you started? Once Jupiter moves into Leo in July, that tends to support gold. That's just a broad brushstroke, very broad brushstroke going forwards. We also have Mars in an exact to the degree, beautiful trine to Jupiter. This is a very favorable aspect. This has a tremendous sense of focus and purpose. Focus and purpose to improve our sense of safety, Cancer, self-care, nurturing. Nurturing not only for self, but for all of our brothers and sisters across the world. And Great compassion. So there's this feeling of, okay, we are really identifying and empathizing with our brothers and sisters in extreme situations, whether it's weather or war or whatever. What can we do? This very clear sense of driving purpose to improve, you know, that intention I suggest you set for every meditation. This is my highest good of all, and highest good of the earth. But this will also energize energize our future visions and our future plans as well going forwards. The other thing I'd like to point out, because it's so exact, is Homer at 352 of Scorpio is in a quincunx to Saturn at 356 of Aries. Now, that's only a 4-minute difference from exactitude, from absolute precision. So even though a quincunx may be thought of as a less major aspect, which I don't think it is, actually, I think it's a really important aspect, the exactitude brings it into potency. And if we think of Saturn in Aries, one of the meanings which I've spoken about before is new structures, new Aries structures, Saturn, that have a spiritual context, Neptune. And these are new also because these all conjunct the new moon. And Homer also has in her mythology a link with new structures, because in her fire goddess aspect, she was said to birth the eight islands of Hawaii. You know, she's got this eruptive quality, whether she's birthing the islands of Hawaii in her fire goddess aspect, or the lava, you know, spewing up to become new land, or whether she is just birthing babies from all over her body, or regenerating herself from an old crone to a young maiden. There's this eruptive, regenerative quality to Homer. And as I was preparing for this, I was really thinking about it, and it instantly took me back to an analogy that I used a few years ago, but it's just so ripe for now, particularly as we're just literally tipping into the Aries equinox the very next day, the 20th of March. And it's relevant now because, you know, people often say to me, okay, so where is New Earth? Show me. I can see 10 tons of evidence of the current world and, you know, the predictable wars and suffering and strife and geopolitical spats and political spats. I can see 10 tons of evidence of that. I see no evidence of New Earth. Well, the answer to that is, firstly, it's a frequency that you have to embody. It's within us. You have to feel it, and you have to feel those emotions on a regular and ideally continuous basis of love, of joy, of gratitude, of compassion, of peace. Those are the elements of New Earth frequency. And when you start to feel them, you embody them, you become New Earth, literally, you become New Earth. And it's then that you sort of start to live in the magic zone of synchronicity, because you just meet the right person, you suddenly hear about the right opportunity, you turn to the right page in the book, somebody you know says you've got to meet so-and-so, there'd be a perfect connection for the new idea or the new business you're going to start up. It's effortless. It's effortless once you're in that kind of New Earth flow. Already there are hundreds of communities all over the world, people coming together of like mind, they're growing food, they're collaborating, they're building businesses together, they're sharing their skills. You're never going to hear about them on the news. They're doing that very quietly for obvious reasons. But it's when you get on that frequency that you connect with them. So it isn't judgment, it's just like the old-fashioned radio dial. You have to be tuned into that frequency. Once you embody New Earth, that's when all of those things start to happen and your reality becomes very different, effortless and magical, becomes very different. And then you can actually see how New Earth is emerging in your reality along with others. So it took me back to this analogy I'd used a few years ago, but as I say, I think it's very relevant for now. And because people often say nothing's happening, I just think it's 10 times happening in the world, but anyway, nothing's happening. It's like we're staring at a hen's egg, regular chicken egg in its shell. And we've been staring at this egg for quite some time, thinking, nothing's happening, nothing's happening. but actually a whole new life, a whole new biology is being formed within that shell. And one day, the little baby chick will choose, this is the day that I'm big enough to emerge into the world because I have outgrown the shell, Saturn rules structures and shells. So it breaks out of it, you know, its little beak cracks the shell, breaks out of it. And the old structure, Saturn, is now redundant, obsolete, and literally outgrown because it has already produced this new life from within. We are all new earth chicks, may I suggest. We are all new earth chicks, and we are building, we are creating, we are embodying a new biology, which you will have heard me talk about with many others, with Nancy Rebecca, with Kelly Kolodny, with David Clements, with many other people, Richard Rudd, Lee Harris. We are birthing a new upgraded biology, but it will appear hidden until you are ready to be on that frequency, until that birth is ready to emerge, that new biology is ready to emerge much more fully in the world. So we are a brigade of new earth chicks. So I hope that's a helpful analogy. I'm going to keep this video short because, as I say, I said so much in the Aries Equinox video, and I'll put the link for that below. Know that these are immensely powerful times. And the Aries Equinox is this year, because it's so much bigger than a normal equinox, is like this launch pad, this rebirth, this ignition, this whole new start for humanity, which I truly believe it is. So hope that's helped you. God bless, and be back soon with something different. Bye for now.
No room for hate. Open up your heart, don't let them wait. Ooh, 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 ooh. Quality in life that's hard to find. Like a child with an open mind. Tenderness. Sensitive to a smile.
Well, there you go, lovely people. That's Herbs, of course. And was this week we lost Dilbert Karaka, the lead singer of Herbs. So, beautiful people, listen to the words. So now, Lee Harris, he's saying, why does everything feel so intense right now?
Houses of cards will begin to fall. So the houses of cards are anything that's built on old energy, old consciousness, old ideas, or old attempts at control. They will become more destabilized than ever in 2026 on personal and global levels. This will be true of the next 2 to 3 years especially. And growing disenchantment within the collective began in the last few months of 2025, but 2026 will see more visible evidence and examples of it. This refers to global leadership and personal relationship dynamics. Surprises and sudden improvements will happen when things have been bleak or tough. When it feels like the dark is winning, wait, things will reshift. So, I don't think I need to explain how that theme has been playing out the last couple of months, because it's been plain for all to see. But it's important for me to preface this month's forecast with that global theme and annual theme. But now I'm going to go into the next theme for this month, which relates to it. So, theme number two for March is the purge. Knowing prophecy is different to experiencing it in real time. The purge. Knowing prophecy is different to experiencing it in real time. And what this relates to is, I think there are many of us on the planet who for many years have known that a time such as this, where corruption and that which has been hidden was going to come to light. My guides have been talking about it for a couple of decades, and I'm one of many, many voices on the planet. And then there is increasing evidence that has come out in recent years about some of these aspects of corruption, manipulation, control, and abuse. So this theme really relates to, how are you dealing with that reality on a physical, emotional, psychological level? Because it's one thing to know that some of this stuff that feels true to you is what's going on. It's another thing when we in real time start to walk through the stages of the release and the reveal of it. So, the nervous system and digestion of world energies and events, and how it is affecting you physically, emotionally, and psychologically, can be intense right now. Physical, emotional, or psychological symptoms will show up. So attend to your nervous system needs with the tools you have. This experience is true for many sensitives and empaths, and there is often a past alignment, either from this life or other lifetimes, to being triggered by events you aren't directly experiencing. So if you are fortunate enough right now to not be someone who is in the line of fire with any of the things that we're seeing going on around the world, but you are of compassionate heart, and this is not the world you want to see, which is true for most of us, you are going to, many of you, go through some stuff, even if this is not new to you, the concept of this isn't new to you. But as it hits the collective energy field, not only do we ourselves have things that we purge in response to this purge that's happening of a lot of dark and shadowy energy that was previously hidden and not revealed, you're also picking up on how everyone else is responding to it and the grip that many have in their hearts, their minds, their fear around what they're seeing and coming to terms with. And equally, it can be very re-triggering. So for example, if you are a survivor of sexual abuse, what you're going to be learning at the moment is going to potentially re-trigger you. And so all of these different aspects where people are being abused, people are being lied to, people are being manipulated, controlled, or oppressed, how is that hitting you? You might be immune. You know, you might be watching this and you might say, no, I've had other times in history where things have hit me, but this one, I've managed to stay centered and strong. There's nothing wrong with that, by the way. That's actually really useful. So don't give yourself a hard time if you're listening to this. We need the people who are unaffected for those of us who might be going through a purge or an emotional reaction to what we're seeing. So knowing prophecy that this stuff was going to come out doesn't shield your emotional and your energetic body from viscerally going through it. So as with anything, feel what you need to feel. Let the feelings come through you. But equally, if you find you are getting lost or stuck in the feelings, make sure you are attending to your nervous system needs. I spoke about this in the February energy update. I said nervous systems in need. It was one of the big themes. So how do you calm down your nervous system? And the word nervous is a clue. We feel anxious, we feel off balance, we feel on high alert, we feel hypervigilant. There is a nervousness to this energy and it needs soothing, calming release. So for example, you might be very familiar with practices like breath work, meditation, toning. You might have a physical practice that helps you. It might be athleticism, it might be yoga. You might have simple things that you do at home to reset you, certain pieces of music you listen to, getting in a body of water or showering to reset your electrical system. There are so many different tools out there for nervous system support. And if you're not sure about this concept, just think about how you calm down. It's that simple. What calms you down? And make sure you're bringing in a good dose of those practices when you're triggered, because it won't stop you moving through the feelings. It will actually create support and safety while you traverse releasing and purging what's going on.
Nuclear, nuclear, nuclear.
Another great protest song from Herb's French Letter about the opposition to the French nuclear testing in the Pacific. I remember standing in Auckland Harbour looking at the sunken Rainbow Warrior and feeling of sadness that such things could happen in our world. But then, of course, the terrible trio in Wellington let American ships into our ports last year. So, back to the good old days. Perhaps that's something we ought to aim for. Here's another little short one from Lee Harris. The heart space is home. A message from his guides, the Zeds, the Zs.
Good. A pleasure to be with you all. You are all synthesizing. Synthesizing with your own souls and synthesizing as a group. Not necessarily because you all need to become the same, that is not what we mean by synthesizing, but you are using the group energy in this experience to up-level and upshift your perspectives, your experiences of life, and the way that you interact with everything going on outside and around you. But there has been a through line through all of this process, and we are aware the process is not yet complete, so we will talk a little more about this on the final module that will be live next week. But we want to draw your attention to your heart chakra, the center of your chest. This is your brainchild. This is the part of your soul and your human body where an intersection occurs for your spirit. So when you get free of some of the more, we will call it mind control aspect of your society which has asked you to go very much into your mind and to have a disconnect between mind and emotion, which is a block to your power, by the way, when the mind and the emotions are not in sync, when they are out of synchronicity with each other, they are operating as two separate parts. This is where egoic behavior comes from, where the mind is allowed to override all of the other senses and feelings, and its interpretation of what it thinks you might need, want, or desire goes into overdrive and leads you down pathways that are actually disconnecting you from your soul. Ego that is operating in an unhealthy way, trying to conquer, grasp, or act out any energy that comes from lack or lower vibrations, rather than the higher vibrations of harmony, love, sharing, gratitude, generosity, receptivity, sensitivity. Any of these lower states that come through the ego are moving you out of the seat of your soul. The heart chakra is where your soul resides. It is the brainchild of you where your soul is concerned. And we are drawing your attention to that today because for many of you, you are perhaps somewhat already aware of this. For others among you, you are deepening into this awareness right now. You are recognizing that the center of you lives in the center of your heart. It does not mean that you have not experienced heartbreak or do not have things that are in your life that you do not like or that you struggle with. You do not have to always be peaceful in the heart in order to live in and from the heart. The reason so many of you left your hearts is you were told to. You were given highly organized moments in which you could go into the heart. The heart for you was often described as a propulsive experience. So, if you were taught about love, it was often in the height of romance or big energy around it. And what we are trying to instill in you is that you can sit in the center of your heart field and absolutely nothing can be happening. You can sit there peacefully. You can sit there still. You can sit there in silence. Try it now. See if you can place your attention, your focus, your being in the center of your chest. Of course, it doesn't mean you may not still be aware of other faculties, but you are simply giving a little attention to the center of your chest, the heart chakra, and reconnecting with this part of you that is home. Home is where the heart is an earth phrase. We would say yes, yes, yes. It works cosmically too. So, as you sit in this center of your chest, some of you may notice emotion rises, moves, expels, because as you move into that part of you and you settle in there, emotion that needed to be dislodged, felt, seen, that will happen. But for others among you, you will find an extraordinary stillness in this part of yourself. It is a home you can not only return to, but safely experience the world through. It will also be a very good discernment tool for you around who is in their heart and who is not. If you are sitting in the center of your chest and letting your awareness radiate from that point, you will soon notice when others cannot meet you there or drop into their own heart space.
May you be peaceful and happy. May you be healthy and strong. May you be free from fear, filled with love. We can be peaceful and happy. We can be healthy and strong. We can be free from fear, filled with love. Peace is what our planet needs. Peace that plants a gentle seed of love and truth in word and deed, overcoming fear and greed. Peace is what our planet needs. Peace that plants a gentle seed of love and truth in word and deed, overcoming hate and greed. And we can be peaceful and happy. We can be healthy and strong. We can be free from fear, filled with love. May you be peaceful and happy. May you be healthy and strong. May you be free from fear, filled with love. May you be peaceful and happy. May you be healthy and strong. May you be free from fear, filled with
great sentiment there from Lily Fraser. Always be peaceful and happy. That's from my Association of Light and Light Friends in America. Now, Dr. Bruce Lipton, what a great guy. He's talking with Jimmy Narain, and it's all about how to rewire your brain.
You're healthy, you got money, you got a great place to live, you have the most wonderful job. You can't be happy with that. That's what I said to myself.
You know, Bruce, so as you were talking about it, I just want to share something. I believe in extreme ownership, and the way I like to approach life is even if it starts raining, I try to, and it doesn't always happen because it's not easy, but I try to take responsibility for that. Whatever happens, I try to take responsibility because I believe in what you are saying. And even if you can intellectually explain that this is not my responsibility, somebody stole my wallet, it wasn't up to me. If you believe that it is still your responsibility to some extent, then you regain the control. And I right. believe in that power. So, but then the question is, so everyone watching this, they're probably really sold on the idea. Okay, I get it. It makes perfect sense. I never thought about it. How do I do it? How do I fight? You know, because you have a couple of percent versus this massive amount of time spent in the subconscious. Yes. How do you rewire your brain?
Well, as we just said, the first thing you have to do is say, what the heck are my programs? You don't have to fix a program if it works. The only one you want to fix is the one that doesn't work. So then you say, well, what are the programs? And I can already tell you, the things that don't work in your life that you desire to have in your life, and you are creating an effort and a struggle and a lot of work to make it happen. The reason why it's not working is because somewhere in the program, it doesn't support that conclusion. So this program does not allow you to have this. So the thing is, well, as long as I have this program, I'm never going to get this. And even if I get it, it's going to disappear if I, you know, as soon as I let go of the control, it's going to disappear because the subconscious can take it away. So the first thing is identify, well, where are you having trouble? And I say, whatever that destination is, that the thing you were looking for, whether it was a job, health, relationship, whatever, if that's where you're having a trouble, recognize this, the program is counter to that. It's the opposite. The program is the opposite. That's why this can't stay here, because this is going to 95% of the day create a different program, not the one you wanted. So I say, so if I have a troubled relationship, then basically my program for a relationship doesn't work very well. In my case, that was true. I for 50 years, I was operating from the program of relationship that I downloaded from my parents, who had a really sucky relationship. It was so bad. And I was just manifesting it unconsciously until I started to change. Once I changed, now I have heaven on earth. A whole different game. And this was
how did you, Bruce? How did you get into that realization, though? I'm wondering. So when did that happen? Did you sit down and consciously ask yourself, "Why do I have issues in this area of my life?" I'm trying to figure out the process that you use that people could replicate for getting that self-awareness.
Yeah. Well, let's start with what was my whole premise. I am the co-creator of my life. Well, if I'm the co-creator of my life, then how come I'm having a crap creation? And the first thing is, stop looking outside, because that's our first effort. Bill does not see his behavior. So when it doesn't work for him, then he has to say, well, somebody else created this. I'm just a victim of this. Okay. And so basically that's where we all stand. We're victims of things. Well, the moment you say victim, as we mentioned, that means you have no power. And I go, no, wait. If I understand that I am creating this, then I have to say, how can I uncreate this? I say, so where, what am I looking for? I want that to be the program, not the one that I have already. The one I'm working on, I want to have a great relationship. I want a great relationship. They fail. And then we want to blame, well, she did that and she did that and she did that, not looking at me going, I did that. Until I started to recognize it. In fact, it was a singular story in my personal life that profoundly changed it, and boom, just like that, okay? I was looking for relationships. I kept failing at them, okay? I end up in the Caribbean teaching at a medical school. The universe throws this into my lap. The perfect pickup line in the whole world is sort of like, hey, if you're not doing anything, you want to come and stay in my villa in the Caribbean and hang out? I have a villa on the beach and I got my own place and blah, blah, blah. And I still wasn't able to find anybody. But I kept looking because I said, I need a relationship. I need a relationship. So I meet this woman who comes off of some yacht and she's, you know, got a future that's like she'll do what she wants. And I thought, well, if you're not doing anything, why don't you, you want to come and stay with me in my villa on this beautiful island? She looked at me and she looked at me and then she said, I can't be with you. And I sort of like stopped for a moment. And she looked at me and she says, you're too needy. And all of a sudden, it hit me. I said, oh my God, what am I looking for? A relationship. Why? Because you're not happy. So if you're looking for a relationship because you're not happy, then you're depending on that relationship to make you happy. So that's not a nice relationship. It's codependency. If I give you this place to stay, you will make me happy. That's a trade. You know, it's like,
yes.
And after she said that, I was stunned for a moment. I can't be with you. You're too needy, she said. And I was stunned. And then all of a sudden I said, thank you. Thank you very much. It was sort of a slap in the face, right?
It's like a blessing in disguise, right?
It totally was. It was like, wake up. And I walked away from that. And I looked at my life and I said, you got this most amazing job. You teach a couple days a week. You live in the Caribbean. You got a villa. You got money in your pocket because you get paid and there's nothing to buy in the Caribbean anyways. And you got, I say, you're healthy. You got money. You got a great place to live. You have the most wonderful job. And I go, you can't be happy with that. That's what I said to myself. I said, how can I, you know, I'm looking for this person to make me happy. I said, oh, no, first I make me happy.
Yeah,
and then when I make me happy, that changed. And it did. What happened is I stopped bitching and started to enjoy. Look, don't you love where you live? Yeah, I love where I live. Do you love the sea? Oh, I love the sea. You like it? Oh, I love my job. Mm-hmm. And all of a sudden I started focusing on, hey, these are things I love. And guess what? I didn't need anybody.
That's when you created abundance, and that's when people became attracted to you, right?
100%, because once I didn't need them, I wasn't like, come here. I was like, I don't care.
It's fascinating how it works.
And they showed up. They showed up because I did not need. That was the word. Because need puts pressure on that other person that they have to provide. And then they didn't have to provide. It was like, hey, let me hang out with you. I don't have to provide anything. I could just be me. I go, yeah, you be you, I be me. We have a great time. And that was the beginning of reprogramming a need for a relationship until I was happy with myself. And until that, once I was happy with myself and I didn't need a relationship, you should have seen how many opportunities showed up that were never there in my life before, because the need part pushed them away.
Wow, that is fascinating. So you're saying rather than trying to fill the void, right? But getting something because deep inside secretly you want to fill the void, something that you're lacking, coming from the position of abundance and saying to yourself, okay, what would I like to have in my life? And striving for it without feeling like you need it in order to become a complete human.
Right.
So you almost like you detach yourself from the outcome, even though you may try hard, but you detach yourself.
Yeah, I'm not dependent on the outcome. Mm-hmm. I'm okay if it doesn't work. Why? I'm living alone, but I'm enjoying living alone. So I'm not like, oh, I'm alone, I need somebody. No, hey, I live in a wonderful place. I got everything I want. Okay, so a relationship, I don't need that now. Why? I'm happy. If somebody's here, that'd be fun. And if they're not here, I'm just happy anyway. It doesn't make any difference. So all of a sudden, that urgent need that makes you grab something and pull it in, that's where it goes wrong, because it didn't come in on its own. You pulled it in. And if you're not in the right place, that thing is going to go back out again by itself anyway. And that's why we make relationships. They break, and then we make another relationship, and then it breaks. I go, you were playing the same damn behavior over and over again. And once you change that, you are empowered. Now, I just mentioned the regard to empowerment of finding a relationship, but it applies to every level, whether it's a job, whether it's my health. I'm working real hard to stay healthy and it's not working. I'm working really hard. I go, why are you working so hard? Because somewhere a program is taking away your health. And I say, so you're just feeding this program. Mm-hmm. And if that program is altered, then all of a sudden, then you have a different outcome. And that's the red pill. I have an opportunity to not play the damn program. And when I'm not playing the program, I am creator. When I'm playing the program, I am habit. And so, but 5% of the average person's life is how much they're the creator, 95% they're the habit. And you know, and it's interesting because it's like, oh, this is new science. I go, it's new science. But it's interesting because the Jesuits, the Catholic order, for 400 years told their followers exactly this. Be a child until it is seven and I will show you the man. Uh-huh. I go, what did they know? This is exactly what they knew.
They couldn't explain it, but they knew it worked, right?
They knew that 7 years was programming, so give me the child for 7 years. And then they knew that 95% of the rest of that life is the program. So whatever I put in the first 7 years shapes the rest of that life. And that's, give me a child until it's seven, I'll show you the man, because whatever program that went in will be you when you grow up. And if you don't like the way you have your life, stop blaming a life and start owning that you were unconsciously programmed to manifest things that you don't like. And that now, if you understand what the program is you want to change, then you have an opportunity to change it. If you don't know what the programs are, then what are you going to change? But the programs are in your face every day. That's because 95 is. So the issue is, can I change it? And the answer, of course you can change it. But then why do people say change is hard? And the answer is this, because the conscious mind and the subconscious mind creative, subconscious mind is habit, different functions, but they learn in different ways. The conscious mind is creative. I go, so what does that mean? I can learn from anything. Watch this podcast, watch a video, go to a lecture, read a self-help book. Even if I just go, aha, I have a new idea. I can change consciousness, it's creative. In contrast, subconscious is habit. I go, so why is it relevant? I say, well, if a habit changes so easily, then it's not a habit, is it? A habit is something, if you learn how to do it, you don't want it to change. I learned how to walk before I was two. I'm still walking. I sure as heck don't want to change it. So the subconscious mind resists change as part of its function. Because if it changes willy-nilly, then your life wouldn't work right anymore. Mm-hmm. So now the question is this. If you want to change the subconscious mind, can you do it the same way you change the conscious mind? I go, nope.
No.
You could read the book and you could take a quiz. Everything I just read in a self-help book, I take a quiz, I get 100 on the quiz. And I go, wow, you really know it. And I say, did your life change now that you've read the book? And it's just, no, but I can get 100 on the quiz. I go, well, that's because your conscious mind was taking the quiz, but your subconscious mind didn't take the program. So now all of a sudden, this is the conclusion part of this most important thing. And that is, yes, it's difficult to change the subconscious mind because it doesn't want to change. I say, well, how do you change the subconscious mind? I say, how did it learn in the first place? I say, what was the first one? I say, theta, 7 years, brain was functioning lower vibration than consciousness. You have to slow down the brain to a much slower vibration. Then it goes into the subconscious mind. That's why hypnotherapists in the old days, they had a watch and they would swing it back and forth. So the watch would swing and they would tell the person, you're getting sleepy, you're getting tired. And the reason they say that is because that shuts down the conscious vibration. And the next vibration is theta, which is hypnosis. So to get you into hypnosis, first I have to get your conscious brain to stop. Mm-hmm. And then in hypnosis state, theta, the vibration theta, then whatever is coming from the outside is not going into my conscious mind. Whatever I see on the outside is going into my subconscious program. So if you want to change the subconscious, you have to talk to the subconscious. I go, how do you do that? Well, number one, hypnosis. And I go, oh, well, I need to see the hypnotherapist. I go, no, this is the cool part. Mm-hmm. I say, why? I said, we have different vibrations. The lowest vibration is delta, is sleep. The next higher vibration is theta, hypnosis, imagination. The next higher vibration is alpha, calm consciousness. And the next higher vibration is called beta, which is like schoolroom, like what we're doing here, consciousness, okay? I go, so why is it relevant? I say, when you're asleep, you're at the lowest. And when you start to wake up, you go up first to theta, And that's like in the morning where you're half awake and half asleep. And then I say, but then when you're awake, you're in alpha. Now you're in consciousness. And then when you go to work, you're in beta, which is like the working consciousness. But when you come home, it reverses. So I come home from work, I'm in beta, but I relax. Oh, the consciousness vibration slows down to alpha. And here's the fact. The moment that the vibrations get a little lower than alpha, consciousness is now shut off for the night. You're sleeping. Yeah, but there's a period of time after alpha shuts off before it reaches delta, the lowest one. There's a period of time of theta. I go, why is it relevant? I said, you put earphones on. And the moment, and you play a program of what? Of what you want. A self-help program of have make a relationship, be healthy, do a job, whatever. You get the program, self-help program. I say, you put it on a CD player, let's say, and you put the earphones on. And while you're still awake, just before you go to sleep, you can hear what's going on. But the moment you fall asleep, conscious mind shut off. But guess what? Theta is on.
The work is getting done, right?
Right. It's good. You're getting a self-hypnosis with the earphone. So whatever you didn't hear it, you were sleeping. The subconscious mind was hearing it. And when you repeat that, that's how you put a new program in. So that's number one, self-hypnosis.
I want to ask you about this. I want to ask you one thing. So what I'm doing, and I'm curious if you are doing the same thing and what you think about it. So I take my phone and I literally record an audio message for myself. I do my affirmations. I'm basically saying who I want to become as a person, what qualities I want to have, as if they are already happening right now. And often when I meditate or when I'm about to go to sleep, when I get into theta, I listen to it. And of course, I don't know I'm listening to it because as you said, I'm getting it. But I feel like ever since I started doing this, I just feel the difference in how I view myself. You ever done this experiment when you just look into your own eyes in the mirror and different things come up? And I realized that my limiting beliefs started slowly disappearing or being transformed into more positive beliefs.
100% accurate, 100% positive way to do this. And the most important fact, if I can only offer one fact, which you mentioned, but I want to emphasize again, is that when you're putting in a wish and a desire, put it in as if you already have it. I am healthy. I am a good relationship person. I have a great job. What's that? I say, it's like I already have it. And yet most people don't have it. So they'll say, I want a great job. I want a great relationship. I want to be healthy. And I go, make a recording of those words. We just said that. I want to be healthy today, right now, Tuesday. We're going to make a recording. I say, now come back in 1 year and let's push the button on that recording. And we come back a year later and it says, I want to be healthy. I go, it's a whole year and you still want to be healthy?
Still don't have it, right?
You didn't say, I am healthy. All you're emphasizing, I have a desire to be healthy. I want to be healthy. I have a desire to be healthy. And I go, you can have that desire the rest of your life. You're not going to get healthy. Mm-hmm. You want to be healthy, you say, I am healthy. But then you look and say, yeah, but in reality, I'm sick. And I go, no, no. The function of the mind is to take the program and turn it into reality. So if I am sick, but I put a program in, I am healthy, the mind looks, like, well, wait a second, the program is I am healthy, but the body is not healthy. So what's the function of the mind? Create health in the body. It doesn't change the program, it changes the body. And so the idea is this. Every time we put a program in, it has to be as if you already have it, in spite of the fact you could be dying of cancer. I go, I am healthy. It sounds kind of weird. And I go, don't worry about it. Just put it on, I am healthy. Because once it is a program, the function of the mind is to manifest it as reality. Mm-hmm. That's the part. And so my little caveat, you brought it up. And I'm emphasizing it. And that was simply this, that whatever you're downloading, you have to say it as if you already have it. Because if you put a future tense on it, I will, I want, I say, if you record that, that means you will always will, want to have it. I will do this. You won't get there. So I just wanted to bring that in because if we're making a program, then you must make sure it says as if you already have it, in spite of the fact you don't.
But also for people who are watching this, because some of you may be listening to Bruce now thinking, yeah, but does it really work? And I know that some people think it must work, but I know there's a percentage of viewers thinking, come on, this cannot possibly work. If you are one of those people, then I just want you to take a little pause, just pause this video, and I want you to say to yourself 10 times, I feel amazing. And just say it, I feel amazing, and then see how you're going to feel it in 10 times. And then you're going to see it works.
Absolutely. You know, and listen, you know, from the spiritual traditions from way back, even though it's been covered up by a lot of religious BS belief system, a lot of religious BS, I go back, you know, there's some very fundamental things. I'm not a Christian by practice. I'm a spiritual person, but not a religion, which is laws and dogma. It's like, no. And I say, go back to one very important one. Jesus told his followers, all the miracles that I can do, you can do them, but even better than I can, and you don't believe it. And that was the whole damn thing in a nutshell. If you don't believe it, you can't do it. And I say, well, where's belief come from? Mind. I say, and then what if you've been programmed you can't do it? And I say, then you'll never be able to do it. And this is the problem. And so we talked about way number one. You want to change it? Mm-hmm. Hypnosis, because that's the original way things went in the first place. And you know, what you said was true. Even you just say, I feel amazing. If you repeat that, the mind will all of a sudden change how you feel. That's how it does it. Okay. So I say, number one, self-hypnosis. Number two, after age seven, you still learn how to do new things that become habits. Like, you didn't learn how to drive a car until later than seven. But once you know how to drive a car, remember the first day you got in, it was like, oh my God, looking out the windows, checking the mirror, watching the gauges, keeping your feet on the pedals just correctly, you know, looking, paying all these attentions, like, and I say, today you've been driving for a while. You don't even think about that. You get in the car, you put the key in, and now what are you thinking about? Well, what am I going to do when I get to the store? You're not even thinking about driving. Why? It's a habit. Okay. I say, well, how'd you get that habit? Because you're older than seven. How'd you get it? I say, repetition. That's what makes a habit. Practice. You want to play an instrument? I'll hand you an instrument. Yeah. You didn't have any practice, then you're not going to be able to play it. And I say, oh, practice. I say, what is that? Repetition. That's the second way the subconscious learns. Repeating something over and over and over again, because that's called habituation, making a habit. And I love it. The new age today thing is fake it till you make it. I go, what the hell is that? I say, you're not happy. Yeah, most of us have trouble being happy. And I say, but what if every day, all day long, and you can remember, you say, I am happy, in spite of the fact that what the hell is going on? You just say, I am happy. I am happy. I am happy. I go, why? What's going on? I say, repetition. And there'll be a point where you'll repeat it to the degree that the subconscious, which learns by repetition, will put in, I am happy. I say, then what's the consequence? They say, what's the function of the mind? Take that program and manifest it. Now that it's in there, I am happy. I wake up one morning, guess what? I don't have to say I'm happy. It's automatic. I'm already happy all day long. Why? My program said that. 95% is coming from that. Mm-hmm. Habituation. You know, repetition of the exact thing you want, not future vision, as if you have it now, we'll put it in a program. So that's first 7 years hypnosis, after 7 years, repetition, habituation is how you change it. A sticky note, people put that stuff on a mirror or someplace and they go, oh yeah, the little sticky note. And I go, that is not repetition. That's a suggestion. A repetition is a practice. You have to repeat things. You practice an instrument, you practice driving the car, you practice doing these things, and then it became real. Okay, so the first two things are hypnosis. Second thing is repetition. And thirdly, the most, you know, effective is called energy psychology. And I go, what's energy psychology? And I go, it's called super learning. I go, so what the hell is super learning? I go, maybe you've seen somebody read a book by picking up a book and just moving their finger down the page, just like that, just as fast as that. And guess what? The subconscious mind, the supercomputer that it is, has read every word just by moving your finger down that, has read every word on that page. And a person using this super learning technique can go into a bookstore, open up a book, and 5 minutes later, by thumbing through each page, turn the page, they can read a whole book in 5 minutes. That's super learning. I say, if you can engage that function, you can also use super learning to create new programs, not in days or weeks, but you can create a new program in minutes. It's like, I go, absolutely. And it's so important. Why? Because there's an old phrase that's really critical. It's called necessity is the mother of invention. Mm-hmm. And I say, what's happening? We're facing a mass extinction due to human behavior that is compromising the web of life. Humans are creating this through our behavior, our culture. I say, you want to survive this whole, you know, extinction event? Well, then you have to create something different. You have to change behavior. And so civilization is being called on to change behavior. I say, how fast? As fast as you can change.
Yeah, right now, yesterday.
And so on my website, which is simple, brucelipton.com, under resources, I've listed maybe 25 different belief change energy psychology modalities. They're all engaging one way or another the super learning process. You can read through that very quick little description on each one. Find one you like, look it up, and start to try it out, because it's a miracle of life that some of these processes that work, you know, they all work, but depending on if they're working for you, that's why there's so many different ones. When it works, you can walk away 5 minutes later and have a completely different life. Come in, change the belief, 5, 10, 15 minutes. The harder part is identifying exactly the belief you want to put in. Once you have exactly the belief, it's a very short process to put it in. More work putting it. What the hell is it I need to be real in my life? Then that's where you make a belief statement. And then once you have that belief statement, then the process of installing it is very quick. And so there's about 25 different energy psychology modalities on that website. And they're profoundly, profoundly important, because we shouldn't waste any time. What if you can just change tomorrow right away by just doing one of these? I say, yeah, is it real? I go, absolutely it is. I wouldn't have been able to write my book if I didn't change my subconscious program, which was sabotaging me from writing the book, because my subconscious said, if you write this book, guess what? You're going to lose respectability from all your colleagues, which I did. But there was a point when I rewrote the program and said, I don't care about that. I'm writing this book. I had to change my subconscious was saving my career. Bruce, if you write this book, you know, your scientific colleagues are going to push you out, essentially. I go, okay, you want to take this on your career? Okay, I'm ready to do it. Change the program. And then the book came right out as soon as I did that. And all the other facts of why my last book, The Honeymoon Effect, is like to me most exciting, is because my life was not honeymoon. My life was lots of struggles here and there. I was a very successful research scientist, but personal life sucked. You know, it was really bad. And now it's like I had to write the Honeymoon Effect book, because what is it like to have a honeymoon every day of your life for the rest of your life? Well, that's the reality. It's not just a little period that happens for a few weeks and you feel overjoyed and great, and then it disappears. And so three ways of learning, summarized very quickly: hypnosis, putting earphones on at night with a program you want to be true. Repetition, that's after age 7, that's the process of putting in new habits, okay? And energy psychology, which is like lightning change in the system.
Just to clarify, so even when people go to your website, they try to reprogram their old programs, I still suppose it makes sense to revisit that. And I'm saying this because many people may think, well, hold on a second, so I can take 5 minutes and I can totally change my life and that's all I need. And I think...
That's a really wonderful possibility, but the probability is this: are you going to hit the right statement that is the one that you need to change your life? Okay. Let's say someone's overweight and they say in their mind, I am, you know, a number they like. I am 125 pounds and you're not. And I say, so I want to change my weight, and I put a program in, I'm going to lose weight. And I go, well, wait, that extra poundage, that might be due to protection. I go, what do you mean? I say, if I, as a young person, was abused, then the consciousness is, if I'm a heavy person, they won't bother me anymore. Mm. And so the weight isn't due to just eating food. The weight was actually due to, I'm safer being heavy than I am. I say, well, if you want to change your weight, you can talk about the weight all you want, but until you adjust the problem from the fear, you know, that I'm going to be abused, That's where the problem came from. It didn't come from eating food over here. So I said, yeah, well, you can change beliefs. Sometimes I like to give a visual. As a matter of fact, I visualize a big spider web, which has like circles and then lines coming out, you know, like a web, okay? And so there are links as you go around. There's also anchors where the web is anchored at a couple of places. And I go, each belief is like a link in that spider web. And you can do one link and another link and another link. That really changes the spider web. But if you do a belief that is an anchor and you change the anchor belief and that anchor lets go, the web will collapse.
That's powerful. So
what's the point? And the point is this. Sometimes a belief statement knocks out a link. But when you really hit it just right, you knock out a support. And when you knock out a major support, the whole web collapses instead of just a link at a time, which could take it down, but it's much harder that way.
The Voice Within, your connection between this world and the next. Brought to you by Infinity Spiritual Center, 550 Anglesey Street, Hamilton.
Well, what is happening at Infinity Spiritual Centre? I've just finished yesterday my 8-week course on Introduction to Spirit, but stay tuned, there'll be other ones coming up. On Saturday, we've got drum making, so if you need to make yourself a Native American drum, give us a call and we can fit you in.
I am Stacey and I work at Infinity Spiritual Centre. I do tarot and oracle readings. I also do astrology birth chart readings, and I also do a few workshops and classes, which include a tarot beginners course and a social group. So come and see me sometime at Infinity Spiritual Centre at 550 Anglesey Street, Waikato's largest crystal shop.
So Saturday the 21st, Stacey is doing her beginners tarot course. So if you want to learn anything about tarot, just come and book up, and Stacey will teach you all sorts of interesting stuff. I am Barry, it's been The Voice Within. Kakite, shalom, namaste, masalam. May your God go with you.
This Free FM podcast was brought to you with support from New Zealand On Air.